Good morning. This is Brad Lacey, pastor of the First Baptist Church at Conshohocken, president of the Philadelphia Bible Society, a ministry of free scripture distribution. And for this hour, it is my privilege to serve as host of the great message on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT. For the preponderance of the hour, I am joined by an outstanding guest, a dear and deeply devoted man, Mr. Mike, we will call him for security reasons, and we will share together on the other end of Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger. For you, O Lord, you have been my help. Cast me not off, forsake me not, O God, of my salvation. For my father and my mother have forsaken me. But the Lord, he will take me in. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord, be strong, and let your heart be courageous, and wait for the Lord. David is clearly praying, articulating, crying out, if you will, this psalm. He is clearly and obviously in the midst of a set of very difficult, even potentially deadly circumstances, and finding his back up against a wall, to use a modern idiom, David cries out to Almighty God. And you will find a phenomenon at play throughout the book of Psalms. Whenever the psalmist cries aloud to God, we learn immediately thereafter that there is not merely or only the expectation that God will hear and answer, but there is the experiential attestation or affirmation. David will always affirm that God is already at work. And here he cries out, hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud, be gracious to me and answer me. And it is a reality that when from the depths of one's heart you cry aloud to Almighty God, God, in his depth of love for you, responds back and answers you. To borrow from the lyricism of the Psalms, he answers you from his holy hill, and he always does so graciously. We cannot accentuate this dimension of God's character enough. God is a God of grace, and he is gracious in his disposition towards fallen men and women, and he is graciously disposed to reach down from on high and to bring redemption and deliverance, to bring all manner of succor and aid to those of us struggling mortals who cry out to him. He is always gracious towards us, always, even in his moments of forthrightness and firmness, always respectful of us. And he is always, always, always loving towards us, even in those moments when he must discipline us. The great apostle Paul recognized that God disciplines those he loves. If you are under the disciplining and chastening hand of Almighty God, you can be assured it is because God loves you and he would wish to teach you an invaluable lesson and help to further shape and mold your character in such a way that you are made fit, ripe, and ready for the fullness of his holy kingdom. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. You know, along those same lines, I think often of what the great Carter Conland, senior pastor until recently of Times Square Church, the way he has put it. God is so graciously disposed to us, and now to quote Pastor Conlon, that he is never ashamed of us. Even in our most shameful moments, God will reach down and he may discipline us, he may correct and rebuke us, but he will always do so to the gracious end that we are restored in right rapport with him and that our lives are set afresh on a straight and narrow path. He is never ashamed of us. He is always graciously disposed. And therefore, David, in his response, and this is the kind of response that I know myself in my finer moments, and I pray that you either have known or will come to know. David cries out and says to the Lord, "You have said, O God, you have said, seek my face." God always beckoning us to draw close to him. God always calling us to attend to his word and come to him. Think of the great parable of the prodigal. When the prodigal had reached the very end of his rope and he was living amongst pigs, if you will, and not eating as well as they were. He had so badly squandered his inheritance that he was living a vile and wretched existence. And he realized that he could return to his father. When his father saw him from a distance, his father ran to him with open arms and with joyful disposition. The father wanted nothing more than to be restored to right rapport with his beloved son. This is how God looks upon all of us. "You have said, O Lord, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, your face do I seek." Praise the Lord. God seeks us to be his children. He wants to give to us, he wants to grant to us the great privilege of acknowledging him as Father. This is the great blessing of the believer. And we are now, sadly and alas, living in a day of apostasy, a day of a great falling away from the things of faith. And with the way the world is going, with the current trends, we can certainly agree that God has reason to be angry. But praise be to our gracious God, who is so graciously disposed. Even in his wrath, we need to understand that his wrath is always judiciously meted out. And as it is meted out, it is always for not destructive, but for redemptive purpose. Praise the Lord. The Bible is quite clear, and as David cries out prayerfully to God, he well knows the answer. He says, "Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger, for you have been my help. Cast me not off, forsake me not, O God of my salvation." David well knows the answer or response to that cry, and every earnest Christian will also know the answer. The last thing on earth and in the world God wishes to do is to turn you away, or to throw you away, or to remove himself from your life. You will remember in the Garden of Eden when God was walking, and I love the poetic, even lyrical description, God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and he was looking for Adam and Eve, and he cried out to them with a heart yearning for their fellowship, "Where are you, O man?" And of course, Adam and Eve had already done the damage, and they were hiding themselves from God. If you ask yourself, where is God? You will discover that he never left. We have abandoned him, but he extends an open hand to us to return and to be restored to our gracious and almighty and loving Heavenly Father. David says, "My father and mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in." I knew a man in India, Dr. Samuels. He was the academic dean of the school where I taught. Literally, his father had abandoned his family, his mother had died, and Dr. Samuels, a member of the Dalit or Untouchables class, had been left alone. But God reached down on high, using a man by the name of Leslie Newbegin, to redeem him and to bring him into right rapport with his holy and loving Father. Praise the Lord, he would be your holy and beloved Father as well. Brad Lacey with the great message. We return in a moment. Brad Lacey returning with the great message on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. You know, I have wanted several individuals, perhaps five in number, above all else, to join me on this broadcast. Three of them already have come, and my guest today is the next to step up to the plate. We will address him as Mr. Mike, and he has been doing splendid missionary service in Central Asia. We can be no more specific than that. Mike has become a dear friend. He is as Christ-like a man as I've come to know, and he operates powerfully and lovingly in service to the Lord. Mr. Mike, welcome to our broadcast.
Thank you so much, Pastor Brad, and thank you for the picture of the prodigal son returning to the father, and that certainly was how my life started. When I was 16, the principal of my high school called me down, and he said, "Mike, I no longer legally have to keep you in school anymore. Leave, and if you ever come back, I'll call the police." So really, the handwriting was on the wall for me. Four or five of my friends died violent deaths. I was addicted to drugs, alcohol, pornography, smoked 40 cigarettes a day. And you know what I was looking for, Pastor Brad, was looking for freedom. And I thought freedom was doing whatever I desired. But by the time I was 20, I realized that I wasn't free. I was just addicted, and that we really can't give ourselves life, and life isn't within our reach. It's our life is in God's love for us. And so one night I cried out to God. You know, I wanted to come to him, but I felt like I had to be perfect before I could come to him, and I couldn't be perfect. I had so many addictions. And I cried out to him, and I just asked him for help. I couldn't make my life right so that I could come before him. And I fell asleep on the floor crying. And when I woke up in the morning, I sat on the floor, I lit a cigarette, always did that, and took drugs. And I didn't want the cigarette. After one inhale, I put it out, and I haven't smoked a cigarette since then. And the drugs I didn't want, the pornography, and I realized that there was love just filling my life. It was just so amazing. My mom came downstairs, and she'd been praying for me for years, and she asked me what had happened, why I was so quiet, and I was grinning from ear to ear, and I told her, "Well, Mom, I think God has done something in my life." And she thought, oh, she kind of shook her head, "Boy, he's really stoned today." And she went back upstairs. But you know, that night, Pastor Brad, I couldn't sleep because my face hurt so much from smiling. And it's just the picture that you gave in your message, you know, that I was so unclean. I had hurt so many people. I had lived such a selfish life. And who was I that God would run down the road as the Father did when he saw his Son, and God's love embraced me, and God's love gave me to myself. God's love set me free. And so that's been really the start of the journey, and everything else after that has just been a blessing. But it all began with that moment of love, and then the calling to serve Him. To really, it's just something that all of us need to do, is when we experience this kind of love, this is really good news. And you just have to share it with people. And so I just I was very introverted, very fearful. And I just, but God helped me to just begin to just open up and to share what He had done in my life. It's the good news. It's the gospel that, as you said in the in your message, Pastor Brad, He does love us. He never holds His nose up at us. He runs to meet us. All we have to do is turn to Him. As you said in the message, He is not far from us. We are far from Him.
Well, Mike, in response to your story, which is an exquisite and extraordinary one, two strands of thought come to mind. I know that you're a reader. You love books. You mentioned that your testimony was, you shared with us its core, and the rest flows out of that. I think of what the great Alfred North Whitehead, the mathematician philosopher, said of Plato. He said that all of Western philosophy became a footnote to Plato, and all that has transpired since coming to Christ, since you coming to Christ, it has been one glorious, blessed footnote after the other, one glorious expression of the love of Jesus coming forth from that initial and ongoing work of the Holy Spirit within you. But your story makes me think of a friend of mine by the name of Frank. Frank is with the Lord now. And like yourself, he was fully invested in anything and everything that was no good for him. And to quote Frank quite bluntly and verbatim, if it was bad, I was doing it. Booze, drugs, women, criminality, theft. He was into all of it. And the drugs had become so bad that he, like David and like you, cried out to the Lord. But in Frank's case, he literally locked himself into his apartment. And he said, "Lord, if I will not leave this apartment until you deliver me from all of this stuff." He cried out to God from the depths of his heart. He said, "Brad, when I finally left the apartment, I was a free man. I was delivered, and I now walked with God." And Mike, would you know, he didn't know it until it was over. He was in that apartment for 9 days.
Wow.
For 9 days, crying out to God. But on the 10th day, he walked out a free man. And I came to know this guy. He became a very dear friend. He was one of these uncut, rough diamonds, you know? And he knew the love of Christ, and he's now with Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But God led you, and Mike, we've got about maybe a minute. God led you to meet a beautiful lady. And would you just briefly tell us, because Cindy becomes integral to your story and ministry.
Well, Cindy is my hero, and I'm sorry she can't be here today. She's an awesome lady, and the greatest gift God ever gave me is my wife, Cindy. And we were in the Jesus People. I don't know how much time we have left, but we joined the Jesus People. We're in the States for a couple years, and then we went overland. I went to overland to India, and my wife was in Italy. And then after 5 or 6 years, she joined me in India, and we were married in Sri Lanka in a church I helped build. Our oldest son was born in Sri Lanka. His name is Ruel. David was born in India, our second son, and our daughter was born in Peshawar, Pakistan, where we gave milk to 15,000 refugee Afghan refugee children every day. My wife has been right alongside me.
Yes, she's an exquisite lady. And all of this sets the stage for a work that you and your beautiful wife have been doing for some time now. We will share on the other end of the break. But to hear you afresh while you've been visiting with us, and I just want to give the listening audience a preface. Mike's story in ministry is an astounding one. The work that he and his beautiful wife, Cindy, are doing is astounding. But we will share as to how astounding with specificity on the other end of the break. Brad Lacey and Mr. Mike, we return in a moment. Brad Lacey and Mr. Mike returning with the great message on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT. Mike, would you share with us, please, what's been going on? You have an extraordinary work that is playing out, and very fruitfully so, in Central Asia. And I realize for sensitivity reasons, we can't be specific as to locale. But to the extent that you are able, share with us, please, what God has led you to do.
Well, you know, thank you, Pastor Brad. We mentioned the amazing love of God, how it transformed my life, my wife's life, and to share that love, that good news of Jesus' death and resurrection for us. Of course, that's primary. But as we have continued on, I mentioned we were married in Sri Lanka. We worked in leper colonies. We shared the good news, but we also worked in leper colonies. We're aware of their need for an expression of love that had to be more than words. And then when God called us to Central Asia, and as we were sharing the good news there, my wife found an orphanage with 400 special needs children. And it was very, very heartbreaking conditions. And you know, the government was doing the best they could. But it was really, you know, when we give our life to Jesus, he really leads and guides us, and he brings us into opportunities to give our lives in service. He's already there in every place of suffering, and he waits for his people to catch up with him, to join him there, to bring relief and to bring blessing. So my wife began to work at this special needs orphanage. It was hard for me to go there in the beginning because there was a complete absence of love, and the children, they were just, it's hard for us to imagine a child growing up without any knowledge of love, of being in a family and having someone smile when they see them or hold them when they're hurting. And so love was the first thing and really the only thing at that time that we could give. We didn't have a great budget, but love and the love of God through my wife and the local women that joined her just transformed them, Pastor Bryant. They just lit up, and there were so many miracles of love, of children just finding themselves. You know, love gives us to ourselves, really. And they began to do beautiful artwork. They began to do amazing things that the professionals in that country didn't believe was possible. They had a very limited idea of what special needs people could do. I think we struggle with that here too. I think one of my wife's on TED Talk, she mentioned that our misconceptions are as debilitating as the special need itself. So really it's just been a wonderful journey to see love heal these children. In a spiritual way, giving them their identity, and then as they express that love in their beautiful artwork, in their just the amazing things that they make and they do, what their lives are becoming. So we wanted to see this work continue after they became adults. And the challenge was that, we just needed a facility, and we were praying, and the orphans were praying for a place where they could continue this growth. And God gave us a beautiful old kindergarten that was a couple called my wife. They were going to sell it for $100,000, and they said it, but they said every time they prayed about it, they saw Cindy's face. So again, we see that, you know, our life really is God guiding and directing us, that we are not alone in our life, just at the mercy of our own choices. But so thankful for God speaking to that couple. They gave the building. Cindy was really she's the artist, the creative, such a creative person. So we renovated the building, and we were able to get 15 young adults from the orphanage, and they've been able to continue there at the transition center. They share apartments. They learn to, and these are all, they do tasks that people never believed special needs individuals could do. They plan their meals together. They go shop for the food. They cook the meals themselves, and they share the responsibility of keeping their apartments clean. Downstairs, they have classes that teach social skills, socialization. Institutionalization, Pastor Brad, is so crippling. The skills that we learn in families about talking and listening and relating, they're absent in these, in people that have, human beings trapped in institutions. So it's been beautiful to see that part of their life. So it's not just about their vocational skills or their artistic abilities, which are amazing, but it's also they're coming out of that a lifetime of institutionalization and learning how to relate, learning how, and one of the things that I've really learned from them is the amazing capacity to love people that they have, and the way they care for each other. We have some that cannot go to the bathroom themselves. The others, without any thought, they clean them. They help them with their most personal needs. So it's just been really beautiful. And so we're hoping that this model, if you will, in the country will become something more established, be done, be duplicated in other parts of the country, because really, so special needs individuals can make such a wonderful contribution to society, and we've just seen that their artwork is, and their crafts are displayed in a premier art gallery in that country. So it's just amazing, you know, the testimony. There are actually in our country, they're the first special needs individuals to receive the right to work. They have their workbooks, and so we're just so proud of our young adults, and we're really praying that more and more young adults, special needs young adults, can have this opportunity to grow and develop their God-given gifts and potential. And we're thankful for all in the government there that partner with us, that encourage us and help us. And thank you, Pastor Brad. I know you prayed for us over the years. We're thankful for the many individuals here, the churches, businesses, and individuals that help with the work. So thank you, Pastor Brad, for your working with us over the years. Thank you.
Mike, you are entirely welcome, and I thank you for all that you're doing, and of course for your friendship. If I may give an example to convey to the audience just how disparate circumstances were from what they are now, and for how far you've been allowed to be used of God to bring these kids forward. I remember Cindy sharing the story when she first encountered this institution. There was a huge gaping hole in the ceiling of the facility. And this was in the dead of winter in the middle of Central Asia, so the conditions are frightening. And Cindy found a little girl completely naked. Her body had turned blue. She was cast in a fetal position, and she wasn't speaking. And 6 months later, if I'm not mistaken, through the love that your beautiful wife brought to bear upon her life, 6 months later, that little girl was smiling and she was singing gospel songs and she knew that she was loved. And if I may, if I may extrapolate a principle from such a story, you are showing the truth of what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13. Paul says, and I quote, love never fails. Pastor Sa, my African colleague, you met him last evening at our dinner, was just preaching on this very topic. Love never fails. And what you're experiencing and how you're ministering over there, praise the Lord, you are displaying the powers of resiliency that love manifests, the powers of creativity that are quite literally unlimited. You are giving to a glorious display before a Muslim and communist nation. You are showing the full depth, breadth, height, and length of the love of Christ, Mike. Look, we're going to take a break, but your story doesn't end there. You've shared with us your testimony of how you've come to Christ. You've shared with us, in a nutshell, the kind of work playing out on behalf of these young people. But you've also had opposition, and it's the kind of opposition that perhaps, at least in a more limited way, we're beginning as believers to experience here in the West. I know you'll need to speak with sensitivity, so I defer to your judgment. But on the other end of the break, we pick up with the nature of relationship between the gospel and the world in which we live. Brad Lacey and Mr. Mike, we return in a moment. Brad Lacey and Mr. Mike, ministering in Central Asia, returning for one final round of the great message on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT. Mike, while you've been bringing the love of Christ to bear upon these kids, and God bless you, and God bless these children, and we've learned many, many stories. You're working with some wonderful people who are faithful and doggedly devoted to the work and to the welfare of these kids. But you've all also come under utterly unnecessary and ruthless attack from those who otherwise should know better and be grateful for your labors. On the one hand, you have thanked the Lord for those in authority who have received you well and embraced and affirmed your work, but there have been others on the other side of the ledger. What's it like to be going up against an entrenched and often antagonistic bureaucracy?
Well, Pastor Brad, I just would answer that question this way, that we... You know, that living in other countries, we've been doing this for 40 years now, we really, really appreciate and we love America for the freedom of expression that each individual is allowed. And over, you know, the years that we accept, we have different opinions about things. And I would really, and I get the feeling, of course, I'm almost like just a visitor here, a foreigner, if you will, but I get the feeling almost that we're losing that ability to kind of respect one another with our different opinions. And, you know, we have been in places where the state says the only way to think, and if you don't think in that way, then you're castigated, bad things are written about you in the press. So, you know, we just have to be always respectful of one another, appreciative of our diversity, and to really love our diversity and respect our diversity. And no one political mindset claiming moral high ground. Because if we do that, then it means that we don't have to listen to anyone else if we claim that we have the moral high ground. So I just hope that, I pray for America, that we'll be able to just love each other, appreciate our diversity, and in our government, in our Congress and Senate, I pray for bipartisanship. I pray that, you know, that the way forward is unity. It's not one party rule, because that, I think that's disastrous from what we've seen in our experience.
Well, I would argue, Mike, that what I think there's an underlay over here. I think, granted, the Judeo-Christian heritage was not flawless or perfect, and the individual expressions of Christians or even of local church fellowships has not always been ideal or stellar. That being said, when our culture began to more pervasively jettison or break ranks with the Judeo-Christian heritage, we also began to break ranks with, if you will, the sentiments, for lack of a better word. We hear a lot about mercy and grace and forgiveness, but when push comes to shove, we haven't any longer a clue how to apply it, because we are devoid of the God who is our referent in that respect. And so who or what takes the place of Almighty God? It becomes a human ideology, or it becomes a human person, or it becomes a human aspiration. And our devotion is directed to these more idolatrous things. And now everything has to fall into alignment with idols rather than with a gracious God who extends a gracious and hospitable welcome to us, notwithstanding our sins, our flaws, our failings, and what have you. And you come over here and you see this playing out now. And what I do think the positive, and I'd love your opinion, I do think that the positive in all of this, and you are seeing it on the part of many, not simply church leaders, but Christians across the boards, a variety of types. God's people have begun in a way that I never saw before. They have begun to cry out to God. They've begun to confess their sins. They've begun to plead the blood of Jesus on behalf of the nation that is going in a very sinful direction. And there's a kind of Davidic-like cry playing out now that I've never seen or encountered before. And I think amidst such crisis, God's people in large measure are responding, and we know from the text of Scripture, and we know from our own experience and as Christians, that God does viscerally and forthrightly respond to us. What do you think, Mike?
Amen. I think it's good for us to pray and not be too political, not to look for the answer there, to be involved, but again, to pray, to seek God, and to really, the values in our, you know, we travel a lot in America, and it's such a beautiful country, so many beautiful people, such diversity, and we have, you know, we have a diverse political system, and that is a very great treasure. And when you live in we've just seen one party rule in different places, and that's it's disastrous. And so I hope that we can keep appreciating and treasuring our diversity. I'm not sure if that answers your question, but most definitely.
No, it is a significant contribution to the issue at hand, you know. And yes, prayer. It's a text that we're hearing almost daily now for those of us who are attending to the evangelical ranks and constituency. But the text is drawn from 2 Chronicles 7:14. I'm almost fearful. There was a day when we could speak this glibly. I don't think it's possible anymore. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways and seek my face, then will I hear from heaven, then will I forgive their sin, then will I heal their land. There's even an extraordinary story ever so quickly that emanates out of the Fiji Islands. And revival erupted a number of years ago, and literally the ecosphere that had gone stagnant, to put it politely, began to burst afresh with natural vibrancy and fruitfulness. And this all played out simultaneous through the crying out of God's people. But Mike, with about a half a minute left, share with our audience, please, your contact data or what you would like them to know and to have.
Well, just thank you for your prayers for the work with special needs people, individuals. If you're interested for more information, please email us at mikedson@gmail.com. mikedson@gmail.com. And pray for us, and the work of these beautiful, beautiful special needs people will be multiplied over many times, and really throughout the world, that we will value and treasure this special gift that God has given us in our special needs friends.
Well, praise God, bless you, Mr. Pastor Mike. We will be praying for you and for them. Brad Lacey and Mr. Mike with the great message. God bless you.